All right, well, welcome to our Good Friday service. Is there anyone in here, this is your first Good Friday service to attend? Good. So I think it was Jessica Petters 5-6 years ago that asked our church, could we do a Good Friday service? And I was like, sure, I've never done one of those before. We'll figure something out, because it sounded like something we should do. And at least for me, it makes Easter different when you stop to pause and you think about what Christ suffered. And normally, about every other year, we will watch the Passion. So this is our off year. So I'll hopefully I won't be crying as much tonight as I normally do, because that really gets to me. So what to expect is this is really an extended time of worship. So we'll be singing quite a few songs. And then interspersed between those times of worship, myself and some other men will be reading just through the story, picking up with the Passover and through his crucifixion. It's blended, so I just took, you know, from all the Gospels and tried to, you know, create a harmonized version. And if you particularly want that, I can share it with you. You can see exactly which verses we chose and which ones we didn't. But let's start with a word of prayer, and then we will sing. Dear Father, thank you for everything, really. All that you've given us. But most of all, we're here to reflect on the greatest gift that you've given us. Your Son. And what he went through so that we could be reconciled to you. We think not only of the pain that he suffered as a human, scourged, tortured, nailed to a cross, but also the wrath he endured from you for our sake. My sin, my guilt. So that you could give us his righteousness. We don't deserve it, Lord. Help us to walk in a way that's pleasing to you through the power of your Son, through his Spirit. Help us to bear much fruit and to reflect him to a lost and dying world who needs him too, so that you can be honored through us. We ask all this in his name.
Thank you. watch and wait, hoping, trusting
festival of unleavened bread, which is called Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put him to death because they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. He went away and discussed with the chief priests and temple police how he could hand him over to them. They were glad and agreed to give him silver. So he accepted the offer and started looking for a good opportunity to betray him to them when the crowd was not present. Then the day of unleavened bread came when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus said to Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. "Listen," he said to them, "when you've entered the city, a man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters. Tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished room upstairs. Make the preparations there." So they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover.
Thursday evening. When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, "I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But look, the hand of the one betraying me is at the table with me. For the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." So they began to argue among themselves which of them it could be who was going to do it. About 12 a.m. Thursday evening, Friday morning, he went out and made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, "Pray that you may not fall into temptation." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he got up from prayer and came to the disciples, he found them sleeping, exhausted from their grief. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray, so that you won't fall into temptation."
Let's stand for this one.
Friday morning, while he was still speaking, a mob came, and one of the 12 named Judas was leading them. He came near Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus responded, "No more of this." And touching his ear, he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, temple police and elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal? Every day I was with you in the temple. You never laid a hand on me. But this is your hour and the dominion of darkness."
Then the company of soldiers, the commander, and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus and tied him up. First, they led him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Caiaphas was one of the ones who had advised the Jews that it would be better for one man to die for the people. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. "I have spoke openly to the world," Jesus answered him. "I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where all the Jews gather, and I haven't spoken anything in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officials standing by slapped Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why do you hit me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, this high priest. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together. And Peter sat among them. When a servant saw him sitting in the light and looked closely at him, she said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him." After a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You're one of them too." "Man, I am not," Peter said. About an hour later, another kept insisting, "This man was certainly with him, since he's also a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Oh, sacred head now wounded.
When daylight came, the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the scribes, convened and brought him before their Sanhedrin. They were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they could put him to death. They could not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two who came forward stated, "This man said, 'I can destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said to him, "Don't you have an answer to what these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said it," Jesus told him. "But I tell you, in the future you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? See now, you've heard the blasphemy. What is your decision?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and beat him. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who was it that hit you?" And they were saying many other blasphemous things to him.
Assembly rose up and brought them before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation, opposing payment of taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Pilate then told the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no grounds for charging this man, but They kept insisting, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he started, even to here." When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man was Galilean. Finding that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. For a long time, he had wanted to see him because he had heard about him and was hoping to see some miracle performed by him. So he kept asking him questions. But Jesus did not answer him. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt, mocked him, dressed him in bright clothing, and sent him back to Pilate. Pilate called together the chief priests, where the leaders, and then the people said to them, "You have brought me this man as one who misleads the people. But in fact, after examining him in your presence, I found no grounds to charge this man with those things you accuse him of. Neither is Herod, because he sent him back to us. Clearly, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will have him whipped and then release him." Then they all cried out together, "Take this man away, release Barabbas to us." He had been thrown into prison for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What has this man done wrong? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him whipped and then release him." But they kept up the pressure, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and their voices won out. So Pilate decided to grant their demand and release the one they were asking for, who had been thrown into prison for rebellion and murdered. But he handed Jesus over to their will.
Thank you. just before 9 a.m. Friday morning. As they led him away, they seized Simon, a Cyrenian who was coming in from the country, and they laid the cross on him to carry behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed him, including women who were mourning and lamenting him. Two others, criminals, were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right, one on the left. About 9 a.m. Friday morning, when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, a part for each soldier. They also took the tunic, which was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who gets it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing. This is what the soldiers did. An inscription was above him, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other answered, rebuking him, "Don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. Just before 3 p.m. on Friday, about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you abandoned me?" When some of those standing heard this, they said, "He is calling for Elijah." Psalm 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? My God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, yet I have no rest. But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you. They trusted, and you rescued them. They cried to you and were set free. They trusted in you and were not disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and they shake their heads. He relies on the Lord. Let him save him. Let the Lord rescue him, since he takes pleasure in him. It was you who brought me out of my womb, out of the womb, making me secure at my mother's breast. I was given over to you at birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Do not be far from me, because distress is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong ones of Bashan encircle me. They open their mouths against me, lions mulling and roaring. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are disjointed. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You put me into the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A gang of evildoers has closed in on me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People look and stare at me. They divided my garments among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing. But you, Lord, don't be far away. My strength, come quickly to help me. Rescue my life from the sword, my only life from the power of these dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of wild oxen. You answered me. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you in the assembly. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. All you descendants of Israel, revere him. For he has not despised or abhorred the torment of the oppressed. He did not hide his face from him, but listened when he cried to him for help. I will give praise in the great assembly because of you. I will fulfill my vows before those who fear you. The humble will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nation will bow down before him. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules the nation. All who prosper on the earth will eat and bow down. All those who go down to the dust will kneel before him, even the one who cannot preserve his life. Their descendants will serve him. The next generation will be told about the Lord. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born. They will declare what he has done. Let's stand. Oh,
3 p.m. on Friday, his death. The people stood watching, and even the leaders were scoffing. He saved others. Let him save himself if this is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him. After this, when Jesus knew that everything was now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I'm thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was sitting there, so they fixed a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Saying this, he breathed his last. Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. When the centurion saw what happened, he began to glorify God, saying, this man really was righteous. All the crowds that had gathered for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, they went home striking their chest. But all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, they stood at a distance, watching these things.
I will kneel in the dust at the foot of the cross, where mercy paid for me, where the wrath I deserve, it is gone, it is past, your blood has hidden me.
Oh,
in the dust at the foot of the cross, where mercy paid for me.
About 4 p.m. on Friday, there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, a member of the Sanhedrin who had not agreed with their plan and action. He was from Arimathea, a Judean town, and was looking forward to the kingdom of God. He approached Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Taking it down, he wrapped it in fine linen and placed it in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever been placed. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed along and observed the tomb and how his body was placed. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
Sins atoned and heaven gained.
I'll ask the men who are helping with communion to come forward at this time. Scripture says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat it. This is my body. We'll distribute the bread and then we will take it together. And as a reminder, there is no saving power in what we're about to do. This is remembering the sacrifice that Christ made for us. And by taking the bread, you're not declaring that you're a member of our church or that you agree to everything that we might hold, but you are declaring, I am in Christ. I am a follower of him.
Thank you. said, take, drink. This is my blood poured out.
Auditorium quiet, and then if, as you exit, you can fellowship out there. And though, if you want behind and contemplate longer, you may.
Let's pray. Fathers, we just sung about mercy. Have mercy on us. Have pity in our sinful condition. And you have. That's what the cross is all about. So, Father, we worship you, we bow before you for the love demonstrated towards us as you sent your Son, and he came willingly, went to the cross, and atoned for our sins. Father, would you help us to appreciate more fully your Son, his coming, his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, Sunday we're going to talk about a living hope. These realities that are lived out in our lives. We ask that we would live in light of the cross and the resurrection. And Father, it's only by your help. And we declare that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.